Welcome to A Slab of Glass. I'm Christopher Lawley. Each week I'm joined by my co-host Jeff Perry as we discuss iOS and iPad productivity. Hey Jeff, how's it going?
It's going really well, Chris. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. So we are on episode 5 here today, and we're going to be talking about the Apple Pencil. So Jeff, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm not an artist at all, whatsoever. I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't even finger paint. Like, I don't like being messy. So I don't use my Apple Pencil for any art whatsoever. It just doesn't work for me. What about you?
No, I have the artistic ability of like a first grader, you know? Like, I can't draw to save my life. I mean, but I feel like a lot of people think of the Apple Pencil as sort of like a tool that artists use, but I use the Apple Pencil for practically anything but that, you know?
I completely agree. I don't use my Apple Pencil for art, but I think you and I both have a lot of different things we can use our Apple Pencils for that we're going to kind of discuss here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe down the road we could find someone that is more artistically inclined than you and I that would be able to shed some light on things that you can use the Apple Pencil with in a creative, more artistic kind of thing.
Absolutely. So Apple just had their education event. We talked about it in the last episode, and their new baseline iPad now has support for the Apple Pencil. So we both kind of thought it would be an appropriate time to kind of talk about why we bought an Apple Pencil, what we use it for, and kind of some cool apps to use it with.
Mm-hmm. And some cool products I can see in the dock too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Apple Pencil was one of those things that I think a lot of people kind of made fun of the idea of a $100 stylus at first, but for me personally, I've used a lot of different stylus with my iPad, and I even used a couple on the iPhone, and it's very, very different than everything else on the market. And it helps that Apple was able to make it. It's Apple tech inside the Pencil and Apple tech inside the iPad. So everything works really well together.
Mm-hmm. And there's been a few styluses before the Apple Pencil time that were fairly good. I think like the Bamboo 2 was good. The Pencil Bay 53 was okay. There were a few other styluses that were at best like a 7 out of 10. But the Apple Pencil has kind of knocked those down to like a 5 out of 10. Like, I feel like no other stylus is as good as the Apple Pencil for the iPad. Like, I can't think of anything that's even comparable, except for maybe the pen option that they have with like the Microsoft Surface, which is also a first party product from Microsoft for that specific device as well. So it seems that, you know, styluses, much like keyboards, are very hard to find and very fickle to work with unless it's created by the first party. And in this case, the Apple Pencil is the one and only stylus that I would ever recommend anyone use now, thanks to every iPad that's out of the market right now that's new, whether it's the 10.5, the 9.7 Pro, the 12.9 Pro, the standard iPad that has Pencil support now. Like, everything that you can buy with your hard-earned money for an Apple iPad, you can get with a Pencil now. And I think it's well worth the money.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've done a video on the Apple Pencil before, and I made a statement in the video where I said I think the Apple Pencil is the best stylus ever, period. And I do stand by that. And I got a lot of people that disagree with that, and that's fine. A lot of people think the S Pen is really good, and the Microsoft Surface Pen is really good, and I'm sure those are. I've never actually used those. When I take a step back and I talk about how the Apple Pencil is the best stylus you can get, I really talk about how latency. That's my number one thing. And as far as I know right now on the market, the Apple Pencil with the iPad Pro, especially the new iPad Pros, has the lowest latency out of any stylus on the market. And for those that don't know what latency is when you draw a line, it's the Apple Pencil's tip, it's how far that line is behind the tip. So with a pen and paper, there's no latency because you're putting ink right on the paper and you're drawing that line. Mm-hmm. With digital stuff, it's having to render that line. So there is computer processing in that, and it does take some processing in order to render that perfectly. So that's where latency comes in.
Yeah.
For me, I think the Apple Pencil is terrific. I know there are other stylus on the market that do very different things. I know there are stylus that have buttons and that do different functions and things like that. But for me personally, what I want out of a stylus is when I draw with it, I want it to immediately draw a line, or if I tap a button, I want it to immediately activate that button. I want it to be precise and quick and just right on the dot.
Yeah, totally agree. So now that we've kind of explained, you know, the Apple Pencil and its availability and you know, one of the reasons that we use it, let's dive even further. Like, you know, what are the reasons that you and I both use it? So, Chris, I'm going to let you go first on this.
So the reason why I bought one, let's start from the beginning. Why did we buy them? I got my iPad Pro. I've mentioned this on the podcast already. I got my iPad Pro a couple months after the original 12.9-inch iPad Pro came out. Mm-hmm. And everybody was in love with the Apple Pencil. Everyone enjoyed drawing with it, taking notes with it, using it with applications. It was just crazy the reception it was getting.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I was curious about that. Honestly, I was very curious to see what that meant. I don't draw. I'm not an artist. I can't draw. It just doesn't work well for me. But what I think has been really interesting about the Apple Pencil is you can use it for other things. So what drew me to it was the ability to take notes, whether I was in a meeting or I was working on a video or whatever, and also be able to edit scripts. When I was doing a lot more formal videos, and I still do this from time to time, but I try and mix up my format now when I do my videos, I would write a script out, and then I would take that script and I'd move it into Notability, and I would, you know, triple space it, I'd make the text really big, and I'd draw on it with the Apple Pencil for any changes I need to make. That way, when I want to go back and edit it, I can put Notability on one side of my iPad and whatever text editor I was using at the time on the other side, and I can make whatever changes I needed to make on there.
Right. And it's similar for me as well. When I got my 10.5, one of the reasons I bought an iPad Pro was, one, I had an iPad Air 2 at the time, and I wanted to upgrade to a little bit bigger screen, and that's why I want the 10.5, but also because the iPad Pro offers a pencil support. At the time, the Apple Pencil was only iPad Pro only, and I wanted to be an exclusive kind of user and buy the iPad with the Apple Pencil. And so I bought both of them at the same time. I have the original Apple Pencil. I haven't had to get one replaced or anything, and the battery life is still really good on it. But the reason I bought it was because it was new and exclusive and has raving reviews, and it was just something that I wanted to get when I got my iPad Pro. So I bought it without really any intention or real idea of what I was going to use it for, and I'm still trying to learn how I can incorporate it more and more into the things that I do. But the main reason I bought it was because it was new, it was a new Apple product, and it came with the iPad Pro, which I was buying, so it was kind of a no-brainer for me to spend the extra $100 and get the iPad with the Apple Pencil. So that's kind of the main reason I got it. Ever since I have gotten it, I've noticed that I prefer to use it as a secondary input. I don't know about you, Chris, but every once in a while I get RSI issues where my hands will kind of cramp up, especially when I have to do like zombie arm and have my arm up and trying to use the screen, because I use it with a keyboard 90% of the time. And the Apple Pencil sort of gives you that extra reach where you can actually just like rest your arm on the desk and just point and tap and slide and whatever else you need to do with the UI of whatever app you're using, or just in general cases as well. So that's, I mean, secondary input is like the number one reason why I use the Apple Pencil. There are some apps and stuff that I use it with, but is there any other, you know, specific intention that you had when you bought the Apple Pencil, Chris, or is it kind of the same idea for you?
I think it's basically the same idea. I have RSI issues as well. It gave me something to kind of switch up my input method. One of the kind of the added bonuses of the Apple Pencil was I got to use it with a lot more apps than what I thought I would. It wasn't just for writing for me. I would use it with editing apps and a lot of other things as well. And we're going to talk about that in a little later down in the show about apps we use the Apple Pencil with. But the ability to kind of switch up your input, especially for people that suffer from RSI issues, is huge. If I was just to straight up use my Apple or my iPad Pro without having to use any other devices, just keep typing and keep tapping on the screen, I think it'd probably cripple my hand. The nice thing about the Apple Pencil is it changes the way I'm holding things and the way I'm kind of moving.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, let's dive into apps now. I mean, what apps do you think about when you think about using the Apple Pencil? Like, where are the top ones that kind of come to mind for you?
So I already mentioned Notability. GoodNotes is another one that I've been using more and more lately. Notability and GoodNotes are very similar. GoodNotes is specifically for handwritten notes. Notability, you can also do some type stuff with. They're both great at if you want to like import a PDF document or something and edit that with. Those are both terrific apps to use it with.
Mm-hmm.
I also edit this podcast, and I edit this podcast with Ferrite. And I think Ferrite has the best Apple Pencil support that doesn't have anything to do with handwriting or drawing or art or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in and you could tell it the Apple Pencil does specific things. So like I use the Apple Pencil to move clips around so I can keep my hand on the keyboard and use its terrific keyboard shortcuts. Like Ferrite hands down has the best keyboard shortcuts. I know this isn't the keyboard episode, but like I want to give it as much praise as possible.
Yeah.
It is the only app that I know of, and I'm sure there's probably some other apps that do it, but it's the only app that I know of and can think of off the top of my head that allows you to customize the keyboard shortcuts. So I can make it map other editing applications I've used before, so I don't have to learn all new keyboard shortcuts, which is terrific.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you could actually specify the uses of the Apple Pencil in Ferrite. That's news to me. I didn't realize that you could, you know, just say, hey, if I'm using the Apple Pencil, move the clip only. Don't actually cut or do anything with it. I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, it might be a pro feature. I don't remember or not. It might be something that you have to buy the full app for, but you can tell it what to do with the Apple Pencil being detected. You can even have it be like the Apple, just treat the Apple Pencil like a regular finger. Like it'll just act like if you were using a finger, but I have those two things specified so I don't accidentally move clips with my finger if I'm touching a audio track.
Mm-hmm.
Some other apps that I've used it with are LumaFusion. LumaFusion is my multi-track video editor of choice. It's great, terrific. I use it basically the same way as Ferrite. I keep one hand on the keyboard so I can use keyboard shortcuts, and the other hand has my Apple Pencil in it so I can cut video clips. I also use it with Affinity Photo and Pixelmator. Those are the two photo editing applications that I use for like my thumbnails and a few other things for videos and stuff. Both those are great apps, and they both work really well with the Apple Pencil.
Yeah, LumaFusion I figure is going to be on your list for sure, just because of how great that application is. It just seems to offer pretty much every kind of feature you can think of under the sun, except for maybe mapping your keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah, that's something I would love to see in a future update. LumaFusion is hands down the app that I use the most. It's the app that allowed me to use my iPad Pro full time. If it went away tomorrow, I actually woke up one morning in a sweat of panic thinking that if this application goes away, what do I do? I'm so dependent on it. So that's a little scary. And honestly, Ferrite's starting to become that way too. I'm depending on both those applications so much that if one of those were to go away, I don't know what I would do. I'd have to bust out the MacBook Pro again. So that's a little scary. That kind of goes back to my topic of I really want Apple to be pushing more pro apps. And again, I know I've said this, I say this every opportunity I get, they have to bring their pro apps to iOS in order to push more pro apps. They have to prove to mm-hmm. developers that it can be done, and it can be done by selling the applications at the proper price, not $10, not free, but at a proper price. Like Final Cut Pro is a $300 application. It should be sold for $300 on the iPad, as long as it's, you know, the full version, not some stripped down version. But if they can bring the full version of Final Cut Pro over, then it should be a $300 application on the iPad Pro. And I would be happy to pay that. I would be so happy to pay that.
Yeah. I think that I'm trying to be optimistic about it. I like to think that Apple is working on that, or at least trying to work on that. Maybe not necessarily Final Cut or Logic, but maybe they're trying to bring in a more fleshed out version of like GarageBand or iMovie into it. You know, there are some things that you can do with it, but like, I don't know. I think if like, don't get me wrong, if Apple came in tomorrow, it's like, hey, we've got Logitech and Final Cut ready to go on the iPad, shut up and take my money kind of situation for me happens. But I don't know. I can see him more towards being like, hey, you can do more with iMovie. You can do more with GarageBand. I mean, they did the same with Clips. They've been introducing more and more options with Clips, which isn't necessarily a pro app by any means, but it is a really nice video editing app for like social media purposes.
The problem with iMovie and GarageBand is those are stripped down applications. Those are meant to be, hey, I don't know anything about music making. Hey, I don't know anything about filmmaking. I want to get started with these. And those aren't pro applications by any means, and those are great. If those are the applications you use, that's great. It's a great, those are great starting place. But for somebody that makes videos professionally, I want the full version of Final Cut. And if the iOS is meant to be its own platform, it has to have those pro applications. It can't have compromises. And people, we can't make excuses for Apple not to do that. If they truly believe iOS is the next platform for them, that macOS will be going away whenever, and that there has to be their pro applications on there, and they can't be compromised, and it can be done. It absolutely can be done. These computers definitely have the power to do it. So there's no reason why they can't. It's just if they're willing to do it or not.
Right. I hope that you're right in the sense that pro apps are going to be coming. I'm not going to hold my breath for it, Chris, but I'm very I don't want to say optimistic. I'm very hopeful mm-hmm. that it might happen.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be this year. I'm not even sure it'll be next year. But it's something that has to be coming. It has to happen, because if it doesn't happen, then iOS can never be its own platform. If you can't make iOS apps on iOS, then it'll never be its own platform. It'll always be a sub-platform of macOS.
Right. Yeah, and you know, we don't have to go into rumors or anything like that, but like, if Project Marzipan is a real thing and it is happening where you can import, you know, iOS apps into Mac, maybe it'll go the other way around as well, where it will allow macOS applications to port over to iOS more easily. In that case, yeah, maybe.
The problem with that is there's a lot of the way the applications are built itself. So you have to go back to things like AppKit and UIKit. And AppKit on macOS is not going to be possible to bring that over to UIKit and iOS. Like, maybe you can bring some of the underpinnings and some of the frameworks and some of the code base, but you wouldn't just be able to port a Mac application over iOS and have it be usable. Mm-hmm. So there definitely has to be native pro apps, and this is something I'm not gonna let go of. I don't care how many WWDCs come and go, I am not letting go of the fact that there has to be pro apps, and that has to be the next big step for Apple to, if they're serious about the iPad. I think the first big step was definitely powerful iPads, and we got that with the iPad Pro, and then multitasking, which actually multitasking came before the iPad Pros, but multitasking and powerful iPads, that was definitely a big first step. But now that we have that, we need to be able to take advantage of that stuff, and with that becomes pro application. And I will yell it from the rooftops. I this is something I truly absolutely believe in, that has to be coming.
Right.
All right, so after we kind of went on a little tangent here of pro applications and what should be happening on the iPad, what do you use your Apple Pencil for? What apps do you use it with?
A lot of the same things that you use, Chris. I use GoodNotes 4 pretty heavily. I'm using it more and more every day, honestly, is that mainly because GoodNotes is becoming sort of the markup application that I use when I'm writing. Something that I'm trying to do more of to be a better writer and to create better content is to take the blog posts that I'm writing and then send them out as a PDF and edit them. And so the two apps that I use with this is Ulysses, and I export it as a custom template that I kind of built where it's double spaced and very light gray. I'm kind of taking it from CGP Gray from the last episode of Cortex, where he does the very similar thing. And so I'll export it, and it'll be a very light gray kind of color with the text that I had originally written, with plenty of space for me to mark up and edit things and change things and add notes, whatever. And the way I do that is with my Apple Pencil in GoodNotes. So I'll export it from Ulysses as a PDF with that custom template and then write up, you know, any markups that I use with GoodNotes and everything else. I don't use Notability too often. I've heard really good things about it. I still recommend it to people that are looking for something to use their Apple Pencil with. I recommend it to pretty much anyone that I know is in school or doing stuff for school. And mainly because it has features and things that go with it that are pretty incomparable. Like, there's nothing that I can really think of that does a better job than Notability, but I just don't use Notability as much as as much as the other person does that has an Apple Pencil, just because GoodNotes does everything that I want with it. Outside of marking up PDFs for the blog posts that I write, I also use GoodNotes as a digital journal. I used to have a paper journal with pens and stuff like that I would carry with me. I'm trying to minimize the amount of things that I have to take with me wherever I go. And, you know, one of the easier things for me to cut out was a journal and a bunch of pens and stuff to go with it, because I have a really nice pen that goes with a really nice computer that I have for my iPad. And I can just take the Apple Pencil with me and use GoodNotes as a digital journal. And the really nice thing about that is that you can create like notebooks and stuff in GoodNotes, so you can have different things in different notebooks and organize it that way. So I'll write down kind of like my daily tasks that I want to do in my daily journal kind of thing, you know, some other things that I write in every day, and use nothing but GoodNotes on my Apple Pencil for it. I also use Pixelmator pretty seldomly, Ferrite as well, both with the Apple Pencil. I'm going to take your lead and kind of use Ferrite more with the Apple Pencil specific tasks and things like that, because I think that would be really handy with my workflow when editing podcasts and stuff with it. But, you know, I also just use it as a general input device, because I've already talked about that. But, you know, I don't necessarily have to have a specific application open for me to use the Apple Pencil. I kind of find ways to use it around what I'm already doing stuff. So if I'm like browsing the web or like reading Twitter or something, I'll use the Apple Pencil to scroll down it and just use it as a secondary input as well. But, I mean, those are the apps that I use as well. That's pretty much what I do. I mean, do you have anything, like, I feel like you probably are holding your tongue a little bit with Notability and GoodNotes. I feel like you would have more input with it.
Yeah, I've used both those a lot, and I want to say the big difference is, so GoodNotes is great if you just want to handwrite notes. If all you want to do is handwrite notes, stop right there. That's the best app to use.
Right.
Notability, if you want to deal with text, or if you want to like record a lecture, which is built right into the app, or if you want to like deal with images or anything that you want to import in, Notability, I think, is better at that. So if you want to like build a document from scratch, I would go with Notability. If you're listening to a lecture, go with Notability. I think Notability has some better features, but I think overall, if you're just handwriting notes, GoodNotes is the best app to go for.
Okay.
Now, one of these things that both these apps offer that I think is absolutely awesome is the ability to have change the background of the paper. So in Notability, and I believe this is in GoodNotes too, but I absolutely know this is a Notability, you can go in and you can change the paper type. So you can make it ruled paper, you can make it graph paper. So when you're handwriting notes right on the iPad, you're handwriting notes on a graphed piece of paper, or you're handwriting notes on a ruled line piece of paper, which I think is kind of a handy thing to have.
Mm-hmm. You can use that with GoodNotes too. You can even like import your own custom templates and stuff like that. Like, there's a couple of templates I found and stuff.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really handy. Like, you don't even need to do like specific GoodNotes format. Like, you can just import a PDF and say, hey, I want this to be a template. So you could create something in like Illustrator, or even just like take a PDF of something that you write out regularly and just make it a template, and then you can just automatically just select that as your template when writing on stuff, and then you can send it out to wherever you need.
Yeah, I Notability has that stuff built right into it too, so it's really nice. You can there's a option in there that says paper type. You can change it to the different paper sizes, different backgrounds. You can even do colored backgrounds, so if you like to have like yellow pieces of paper or something like that, that's built right into Notability. And that was one of the key features that kind of caught my eye when I first started using that app. It was really handy just to be able to sit down and write that out. Now, I have the 12.9-inch iPad, and this has kind of been an area I've been having thoughts, Jeff.
Okay.
I've been having thoughts that this iPad may be too big and that I might need to get something smaller. So there's some rumors going around that the next version of the 10.5-inch iPad is going to be more like an 11-inch iPad, but it's going to be bezel-less. And if that was the case, I think I might just buy that guy because I will very much want to be able to sit down and just jot notes with my Apple Pencil and my iPad. The problem is this iPad is so big. It is too heavy to hold just one handed while I'm trying to write on it. It's just too big. So I have to sit down at a table and have it lay flat. And then that means I have to take off the smart keyboard because it won't exactly lay flat with the smart keyboard on there. So I've been having thoughts. I don't think I'm going to buy anything right now. I think I'm going to wait until the next version of the iPad comes out and maybe even an Apple Pencil too. But I've been kind of thinking that this iPad may be a little too big.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the size differences and stuff like that, but like I have always felt that the 12.9 would be too big for the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the video editing in your case, I feel it's perfect size, but if you're working with notes and your scripts and stuff like that, I feel like you might need to join the multi-pad lifestyle, Chris.
That was where I was going to kind of start heading, is maybe my 12.9 iPad gets plugged into its dock with the mechanical keyboard, and that becomes my podcast editing and video editing iPad. And I get a new iPad that becomes my writing iPad. I've done the multi-pad lifestyle before, but it was with an iPad Air 2 and the 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and the iPad Air 2 just never really got used. But I'm kind of, my workflow and the way I've been doing things has been changing enough that I think it might be time to do that. So the current rumor is we'll be seeing iPads at WWDC, which is in June. So I'm not going to go and buy anything right now. Like, this is, unless you're buying the cheap low-end iPad, this is the worst time to buy an iPad right now.
Right.
Like, do not buy an iPad Pro right now. Wait till June. If we don't see anything in June, then maybe go get something if you really need it. But right now, I would wait, because I think we're what, 2 months away, 3 months away, and it's right around the corner. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I had this product sent to me. I'm actually working on a video for it right now, so the video should be up before this podcast is released. So if it is, we'll make sure there's a link to it in the show notes. But I'm working on this video with a product called Paperlike, and Paperlike is it's basically a screen protector. And what screen protectors, I'm not exactly super excited about. I've never really cared for them. It always just makes using the device feel a little weird. But what's different about this one is it makes, when you're using the Apple Pencil, it makes it feel like you're writing on actual paper. And it really does work. Like, I can't stress this enough. Like, I was kind of a little skeptical at first. Like, I was kind of not exactly sure how it would work. But I put this on, and the nice thing about this thing is it comes with two of everything. So the Paperlike comes with two screen protectors, two of the whole application process things, so like cloths and the cleaner and all that stuff, so you can make sure your screen is completely clean. It comes with two of everything. So if you're like me and mess it up the first time, it's totally okay. There's even a nice little video that'll walk you through the application process. So once you get it applied, it's great for writing with the iPad. Absolutely. It makes it feel like you're with the Apple Pencil. It makes it feel like you're writing on the iPad, and it makes it feel like it's paper. That's terrific. The one little problem is it makes the screen look a little grainy. So if you have an application that has a very white background, everything just looks a little grainy, a little weird. You get used to that pretty quick. But if you're editing video or editing photos or anything, that could be problematic because you want accurate color representation. You want to be able to see things properly. And if things are grainy, that's not a good sign.
Right.
So what this is really for, and what I think this is for, is people that take notes on their iPad all day long that use apps like Notability or GoodNotes and want that good feel. Because I don't know about you, Jeff, but the biggest thing that I dislike about the Apple Pencil is that plastic on glass feel. It's almost like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'm probably a little oversensitive to that stuff, but I just don't like the way that feels.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a difference from writing with pen and paper compared to pencil and iPad. You know, like there's a distinct difference with it, but I've gotten used to it. My question for you is, with this product that you've got, you know, is it like a coarse kind of screen protector where it's like an anti-glare kind of feel with it, and that's kind of what gives it the paper feeling, or is there something more going on with it?
I'll put a link to it below, but I think there's a little more going on to it. I'm not entirely sure. I don't really know how it's made. I just know it feels like paper when I'm writing on it, which is weird, and I know is not incredibly helpful or descriptive at all. I don't really know. It's hard to describe. I'm actually having a hard time making this video because it's one of those things you just have to use. So if you're interested in writing with the Apple Pencil more and you don't like that plastic on glass feeling, this is definitely something I would take a look at. And I apologize. I know I'm not doing it justice by describing it correctly, but it's very difficult without, you know, just trying it. And if I remember correctly, I don't have it in front of me. It's just $30 for the two. So if you can afford that, I would definitely just give it a shot. Worst case, you just take it off. But I think it's definitely something to look into.
I might give it a go. I might try it out and kind of be a secondary review maybe with it, or because I'm interested to sort of see how it is. And you know, if the screen cover for it isn't as noticeable as, you know, some like I've had anti-glare stuff on my phone before, mm-hmm. and that is super noticeable, and like I never got used to it kind of thing. I'm hoping that this will be a little bit better with that, but who knows. And you know, on top of that, I also don't take my iPad with me everywhere I go, where I'm, you know, if I'm outside or whatever, it's definitely more noticeable when using it than you know, with my iPad, which I use pretty much indoors wherever I can.
Yeah, I think it might be interesting for you, especially since you write a lot more than I do. Mm-hmm. I think that might be a little better for you than for me. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I've kind of been doing a lot is paper and pen. I know this is really about the Apple Pencil, but I've just been writing a lot more with paper and pen. I don't know if that's something you're into, but I just like kind of sitting down every day with the paper and pen and just jotting out my day. And this is something I tried doing with the Apple Pencil, and I just never did it because I would always forget about it. I always forget to do it. But there's something about having a notebook just sitting on my desk with a pen right there that I can sit down there, jot out what I need to do for the day. And it's just kind of a good way to think through my day and kind of make sure I get to all the tasks I need to get to.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you talk about your pens and pads and stuff like that. It started making me look around a little bit, Chris. Do you also have pencil stands and cases and stuff like that? Because I'm looking at a couple of things that I use pretty regularly, like right in front of me. I've got the Belkin Apple Pencil stand. Have you heard about this?
I haven't. Is that the travel case? I know they have a travel case. Is it something different that you have, or what is it that you have?
Yeah, it's not a travel case by any means. It's this really hefty metal little stand that you put the Apple Pencil in. It kind of reminds me of, you know, the old ink bottles that you would put a quill in back in, you know, the 1700s or whatever. Don't at me. If I get the history wrong, I'm not a historian. Don't at me. So I mean, that's kind of what it reminds me of. It's this big chrome little guy that, you know, weighs, you know, a couple of pounds. It won't go anywhere. It won't do anything. It just holds my Apple Pencil up, no problem. It's melded to fit the Apple Pencil like perfectly. Even like if I put a sticker around my Apple Pencil, it was more of a problem for me to get that in the stand. I've since taken my sticker off. We'll probably talk more about that later, but I now have my Apple Pencil naked. And I'm just using the Apple Pencil as it came with me in the box. But that's basically what I use the Belkin stand for, is at my desk when I'm working on stuff. If I'm on the go or going anywhere else, I'll use a 12 South pencil snap. And this little guy is a little leather pouch that has like a metal back on it for it to make a connection with the magnets on like a smart cover or a smart keyboard. And, you know, as we talked last episode, I use my smart keyboard when I'm on the go. So this snaps right on there, and it won't go anywhere at all. I don't know if you have anything like that, Chris, or not, but I'm interested to sort of see what you have at your desk and what you take with you on the go.
So I've done a couple of things over the years, and the thing that really sticks, so right now on my desk, I have this Apple Pencil stand, and it kind of looks like just the top half of a mushroom with a hole right in the center that you could put the pencil in, and it's weighted. So it's kind of probably about a half a pound, maybe 3/4 of a pound. And it's weighted, so I can't, it's not easy to move. It's like, if I put my hand against it, it's not going to go flying across my desk, which is terrific. It stays in its place and absolutely great. And I covered up the name, unfortunately, because I didn't really like the branding, but it's by ThinkCase, I don't know. I'll find a link to put in the show notes. I'll make sure there's, but I've also, over the years, I've also put a pen loop on my iPad so I could put my Apple Pencil up there. The thing I don't like about that is that means the Apple Pencil stays active the whole time because it's right next to the iPad. So it drains the battery really fast. So I've taken that off. Mostly when I travel now, I just put my Apple Pencil in the little pen holder in my backpack, and that's fine. I don't really have anything that puts my Apple Pencil on the iPad. It's really weird that Apple doesn't offer anything or some sort of sleeve or something that attaches right to the iPad that to put the Apple Pencil. Now, I know they have a few different like cases or something that you can put the iPad in the sleeve and then the Apple Pencil goes right next to it, but it's weird that they don't have something, am I right? Like that attaches to the iPad, right?
Well, for the low, low price of, you know, over $100, you can have the sleeve that holds the iPad and the pencil and that's genuine leather.
But that doesn't like keep it attached. Like,
right. I'm talking about
something that's permanently attached. It just seems weird.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it kind of both sides. I can see Apple being like, hey, we don't want to have anything that is Apple Pencil only because that kind of cuts their market, because the only people that are going to buy that case is if they also have an Apple Pencil with it. You know, maybe with the new innovation that the Apple Pencil goes into the regular iPad now as well, that maybe they can start implementing more accessories and stuff like that. But I don't know. I can sort of see Apple's thing like that. But from a consumer standpoint, like, I would love to have a specific case where I can have my smart keyboard and an Apple Pencil sort of to connect with it. I mean, I'm very happy with my Pencil Snap by 12 South. I don't, even if Apple were to come out with something tomorrow, I don't know if I would actually buy it, just because the 12 South Pencil Snap just fits perfectly in everything. You know, it just feels right. It feels good. And I think I've found a good alternative, even if Apple were to come out tomorrow and be like, hey, we've got something just like the Pencil Snapper. We have a new case that has a pencil holder into it. You know, like, I think that it'll probably be too little too late for me, but I do agree it's kind of weird that Apple never really thought that part through with the accessories and cases and stuff like that, to where they'll offer something for people that have an iPad Pro or an iPad now and a pencil that they can kind of have them both with them in conjunction.
Yeah, it just seems like there should be something, like, even on the smart keyboard, like, it seems like there should be something there, because Apple markets the iPad Pro, the smart keyboard, and the Apple Pencil kind of as a packet. So you'd think there'd be like something at least on the smart keyboard to put it, but whatever. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. So let's talk Apple Pencil 2. Do you have a wish list of things that you would like to see on the next Apple Pencil?
Yeah, I have a couple things I want with the Apple Pencil 2. I haven't read anything or even gotten anything in the wind that Apple is even working on a new pencil. I think that kind of came with the Logitech crayon, where it was smaller, more lightweight, but it only works for the new iPad, not any other iPad, not even the iPad Pros. And you can only have it if you're in a school that offers, you know, if it's part of the education program. Maybe Logitech or Apple will make a deal to where it will create one that is universal, and that could be, you know, like the Apple 0.5 kind of thing. You know, it's not necessarily an innovation or an increase in what you can do with it. In fact, it has less features and it's smaller, so the battery life is probably less, you know, but that could be a secondary alternative. But, you know, if Apple were to say, hey, Chris, Jeff, what do you want with the Apple Pencil 2? I would absolutely say I want it to be a little bit smaller, just because I feel like the Apple Pencil is too big as it is. I have trouble holding on to it. It feels kind of off, especially when I'm using it for a long period of time. It just feels like the weight of it is just too much, and it can be kind of cumbersome after, you know, a full day's use. I would like it to be, you know, just a couple of inches smaller, you know, nothing crazy. Like, I'm looking at my, you know, my my Zebra pen next to it, and if you were to basically chop off the length of the tip, like, if you were to take the pencil cap off and put that under the Apple Pencil band logo, that's where I want it to be cut, you know, like an inch or two, you know, nothing crazy. I don't want it to be super small or super tiny, but I want it to be able to fit in my hand a little bit better and not have to have such a huge excess amount of the plastic in the case of the Apple Pencil to sort of jut out from my hand. So that's what I want. And I also want better battery life, which kind of is, you know, you can pick one of the two. That's what you're going to get. But if it can be a little bit smaller and the battery life is even a little bit better, I would appreciate it. I've never had a day where the battery dies on me when I'm using the Apple Pencil, and you can just plug it into the iPad and not have any issues with it. But, like, there's just something about looking at the Apple Pencil and be like, oh, I only have 30% battery life. I feel the need to plug it in for 15 minutes and get it back up to above 50. I know that the battery lasts for so long, and if I didn't have the pencil snap, it wouldn't drain as quickly as it does. But, you know, maybe there's better battery technology out there, or, you know, maybe I'm just hoping that Apple will create some sort of miracle technology to have a better battery life with it. But those are the main two. Another small one is that if they could have one of the sides weighted, or something offered as an accessory, like a pencil clip or something like that, to keep it from rolling as much as it does, I would feel better about it. But, you know, with my Apple stand and the pencil snap, that kind of fixes the problem anyway. But those are, like, the three big things. I mean, what about you?
So my biggest thing is I actually want it to be in colors. I don't like the white. I still have my Apple Pencil sticker on that we talked about in the last episode, but I would love to have, like, a blue or an orange one. Right. I'd also like to have some sort of, and I didn't believe this at first. At first I didn't want this. I mean, the symmetricalness of, or the cylinder of the Apple Pencil, but I want a button. I want something that I can click on that would do essentially a right click, or just cause a function to happen in an application like Ferrite or LumaFusion. Like, if I was to, like, if I'm, like, selecting audio clips with the Apple Pencil and I clicked a button and it deleted the audio clips that were selected, that would be fantastic. That would make things a heck of a lot quicker for me. So that would be kind of interesting. I don't think that would ever happen, though. Better charging. I don't have a battery life issue with my Apple Pencil, and I've actually had mine for over 2 years. I'm still on my original Apple Pencil. But some sort of better charging, like Qi charging or something like that, where I could just kind of set it down on a pad while I'm not using it, and it'll, you know, get a trickle charge. It'll charge a little bit. That'd be cool. The last thing I would probably want to see, and this was kind of technically in iOS for a very, very short amount of time. I believe it was iOS 10 beta, that there were a few things that if you pushed really hard on the screen with the Apple Pencil, and it was almost too hard. I think that's probably why it got taken out, is you had to push way too hard, is you were able to do a forced touch gesture. So, you know how, like, on your iPhone, if you hold down on an icon, you get a menu pop up, or you can do the peek and pop thing. That was working for things like Notification Center and the Clear All section. So you could kind of swipe down and you could hold down on the X and you could get, like, Clear All notifications and stuff. But you had to push really hard. So I'd like to see that come to the iPad. I'd like to see that be a little more native. I obviously don't want to have to push as hard as I would need to, but if I had to push hard, as hard as it was, at least in that beta period, I don't think it would be worth it. I think a lot of people wouldn't do it because it almost feels like you're about ready to break the screen.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of done away with it. I mean, they obviously done away with it after the couple of betas that it was implemented in with the pressure and stuff like that. But, like, my thing is that I would actually want it to be the other way around. I would want it to implement force touch better when you just tap and hold, because that would give you the option of having, like, a force touch. Like, there are some things that you can do on the iPad now. Like, if you were to go into Control Center and tap and hold on the audio player, you can select what device you want to use. Like, I can switch to my AirPods pretty easily without having to go into, like, settings or anything like that. You just tap and hold. You could do that with the pencil or your finger. I feel like that should be implemented better. I think that would solve the problem of like force touch and worrying about if you're going to be cracking the screen or breaking the glass or, you know, whatever. I think it would be better overall to have that instead of just an Apple Pencil only kind of implementation of force touch.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. So I think that's kind of it, unless you have anything else you want to add to the discussion about the Apple Pencil.
No, I think I'm all set with the Apple Pencil, but, you know, I think it's time to sort of give our plugs and where people can find us elsewhere if they want. So, Chris, if they want to find you online, if you wish to be found, where can they find you?
I never wish to be found.
All right, that's it. Thanks to the show, guys.
But if you do happen to want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Chris_Lolly. That's where I'll post all links to all my projects and stuff on there if that's what you're interested in. I have my YouTube channel is where that's the Untitled site. All the links to all my projects and stuff are on my website, theuntitledsite.com. If you guys have any questions about the podcast or anything like that, you can tweet at us. It's at @aslabofglass. I just want to take a minute and thank everybody that's listened and given us feedback. We both really appreciate it. Jeff, what about you? Where can people find you?
They can find me over at tablethabit.com or over on Twitter at @IamJeffPerry.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Have an awesome day.